Welcome to this new episode of the Teachers of Europe podcast. This is a podcast to support teachers across Europe in addressing common classroom challenges and featuring educators that can inspire others to follow in their footsteps. The podcast has its home on the European School Education Platform, a European Union platform for schools funded by the Erasmus Plus program. My name is Ruth Batista, Senior Professional Development Manager for the European School Education Platform, and I'll be your host for this episode, which is very dear to me. We are celebrating 20th anniversary of eTwinning, 20 years of history, with a huge impact on schools, teachers, and most importantly, students all over Europe. With me, I have very special guests, Liliana Rossetti from Italy. She joined eTwinning on the 17th of January, 2005. She could be one of the oldest still active eTwinners, and she's also an ambassador, and we will talk to her in a minute. We also have Leanne Rod, recently joined the platform, teaching assistant and English teacher and music teacher in Netherlands. And very special guests with me, Anne Gilleren, Senior Pedagogical Advisor, and Santi Cimecca, the project manager. Both were present in the eTwinning's inception. But before that, I actually would like to start with a story from Enrico Mosconi from Italy. He was a student when he first met eTwinning and now a teacher working in eTwinning. And he shared with us his story, and I would like to read just a little bit. The first time I heard about eTwinning was in 2018. When I was in my third year of high school, my physics and mathematics teacher introduced us to various projects, including eTwinning, which immediately sparked our enthusiasm. That year, we also received our first interactive whiteboard. And for us, it represented an opening to the international world like never before. It was the first step toward a new way of learning, far from the traditional methods we were used to. This experience allowed us to grow not only as students, but also as European citizens, bringing us closer to a global collaborative experience. The project offered us both academic opportunities and cultural enrichment beyond schoolwork, helping us better understand both our own culture and others. Santi, was this the initial European Commission's vision for eTwinning?
Well, it's difficult to say because, you know, the eTwinning started as a bit of a pet project, and some knows that the initial idea of having a school twinning came from an idea that the former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair had a few years before. And when at one point he mentioned that it would be nice to have schools twinning all around Europe, I think it was a time when there were town twinnings. And the funny thing is that this idea kind of lingered for a while. And then the European Commission made a feasibility study to see whether it was a good idea to have schools and actually teachers working together for free without any financial support and doing collaborative projects and exchanging and doing collaborative work. And this feasibility study, I'm afraid, did not really worked very well. I mean, apparently at that time, we were in the area of communities and funding for schools and for teachers and traveling. And the idea of having people and teachers working for free on top of their normal classes, doing collaborative projects in a foreign language was apparently not the most enthusiastic idea that teachers could do. Nevertheless, despite the results of this, the commission had the vision to see, well, maybe we can start doing something small, and maybe we can start with a platform, with a small project. And then they launched eTwinning in 2005, exactly 20 years ago. I think there are many reasons why eTwinning was put together. I mean, we were in the e-learning era, as you know, and e-learning was really much about working together using the internet, and therefore putting together teachers and schools from, you know, across the continent and doing something together. In the first years, we had a few thousands of people registering and doing projects. After 10 years, I think we managed to reach 500,000 teachers together and register it. In 20 years, we had 1.2 million users and teachers mostly registered in eTwinning. And roughly, they've been doing some, you know, thousands of projects every year.
Liliana, being in eTwinning since 2005, I'm sure you have a lot to share with us. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about you and also how actually you got involved and why your first project, some experience with your pupils, some key moments, some events. Could you share your journey with us?
Yes, I am a German and English teacher. I actually, at the moment, I currently teach in a high school, a technical high school in north of Italy. And I've been since almost the very beginning. So it was, as you mentioned, it was January 2005. I don't know exactly how I got into it. but I know that I started my European experience, let's say, well before. My first Comenius project was in 1998. And I think ever since I have tried to keep up with the news and the program and the new lines of the program. So I think I just jumped in when the news came out about this new project. What I was looking for was an opportunity to make our language study or the study of foreign languages for my students more alive. And to give them something real, something or someone actually to talk to or to work with. And the beginning was actually based on language projects, mostly with this kind of intention. But then my very first project was with a very good colleague from Poland, and it was immediately a nice experience. Interesting to exchange ideas and information and a different point of view about life, about different things with this corner of Europe, which was so distant from us. We even managed to organize a sort of student exchange, self-organized, let's say, with six students from my school going to Poland and the six Polish students coming to us. And it was great. It was simply great. And then I actually had the possibility to develop different projects, lots of projects. Some were good, successful, very fulfilling, very satisfactory. Some others maybe not perfect because, you know, this is the beauty of it. I mean, it's live. It's live experience. And there are so many factors that actually can influence success. But the real success is the process. Is the way in which you see your students evolve, develop, gain competence, gain awareness of what it means to be connected with other European colleagues and students. The beauty of the twinning project is also the possibility to move cross-curricularly around the different subjects and use the language helping or supporting the process of getting information, exchanging information, developing different kind of experiences and involving other teachers. So this was the next step that progressively went on during these years.
If you had to choose one project that made an impact on your students, what would it be, the first one, or would you choose another one?
Now I would maybe move a little bit further to our times, to these recent times. Well, even if I must say one very nice step, one very nice experience was a project that turned into a Comenius at the time was still Comenius, a Comenius project with a full exchange of a class exchange with Sweden. And this was really a one in a lifetime experience. It was really, really wonderful. But moving closer to our times, to, you know, to the recent years, in a project that is called the Twin Library, we actually transformed an initiative that was already being developed in our school, which is an initiative based on reading books, reading contemporary books and meeting the writers, meeting the author for the students. And it is a project that was developed, that was born and was developed in our school. We transformed it into a European with a European dimension, because we exported this practice to other schools, to our partner schools, and they actually started doing the same. And we created a sort of portal on which our students prepared reports, reviews, they carried out interviews, and they gave the possibility to know this kind of contemporary literature from different countries, in between countries. And we also talked about this fact to the writers that we met during our meetings at school, and they were particularly interested and proud and happy to know that there was also this channel through the schools to be known, to spread the word about their books. And this was particularly interesting and successful.
Yeah, you've been mentioning here and there, of course, some impact on the students and so on. But you, as I mentioned in the beginning, you are also an ambassador. I'm sure you have been talking to plenty of other teachers. So if you had to, let's say, summarize how eTwinning has impacted the classroom, let's say in general, the classroom, what would you say? What do teachers and students get from eTwinning?
Well, they actually they open up the spaces of their learning, because eTwinning can help you pull down barriers of all kinds, and even the walls of your classroom actually disappear. It gives you the possibility to expand your contacts, your knowledge, your practice, the exchanging good practices, getting to know so much and learning so much from colleagues and other students, cooperating. I learned so much through all these years. And every time I meet a new colleague in a new eTwinning project, there is something to pick up. Every single time. And the exchange of experiences, the exchange of knowledge of all the tools or the strategies or the approaches that that we can all bring up when we meet, this is unbearable. Actually, it's something you cannot measure, and it is the real added value, I think, of the projects. And the students experience the same, because they experience they are different. After a while, you know, they can use the digital tools. They can work collaboratively at a distance. They gain capabilities and abilities that in the normal, in the regular schoolwork, sometimes they are difficult. You find it difficult to bring up. And then depending on the content, of course, of the project that they are developing, and then they also open up their minds and expand their knowledge about the contents. And we do the same together with them. This is nice.
Yeah. Maybe picking up on that, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about how actually eTwinning evolved in response to the educational challenges and opportunities over these past 20 years.
From my perspective, and I'm sure Santi and my other colleagues will correct me if I'm wrong, but from my perspective, it started off very much as a project that was there to help schools work together, do projects together using the internet. Hence, the emphasis at the very beginning was always on project work. And it still is a very big part of eTwinning. But as within the first few years, it became apparent that projects was one thing, but teachers needed and wanted more. So they needed and wanted, for instance, professional development. They wanted to know how to use technology better in terms of their pedagogy, how they could implement things using technology for their projects. And this became a kind of a whole area where the professional development stemmed from, and the pedagogical ideas behind how you do projects, etc. It grew. And then from there, and I think I have said this before, but it came at around the same time as a lot of other social media platforms were launching around like Facebook and all of that. But we had something that maybe those platforms did not have. We had a kind of secure area for teachers to work, not only with themselves, but also with their pupils, and they could feel safe there. Mm-hmm. They knew they weren't under the constant eye of social media, etc. So from those beginnings grew the whole community concept of eTwinning. So what started out as a project-based activity between schools grew into what it is today, the community for schools in Europe. Where teachers can work together, can meet each other, can know each other, and feel safe with each other, you know. So.
Yeah. Maybe I can go back to Santi. And I've also been in eTwinning since 2005. So I know we've been doing a lot of analyses and reports on the impact of eTwinning on education. Can you maybe briefly tell us how actually eTwinning has influenced digital transformation and the teacher development in schools and international collaboration? How actually eTwinning was a response in a critical period such as the pandemic and maybe other moments?
Well, it varies from country to country. I mean, yeah. We started with a few countries. I think at the beginning there were 27 countries, not more. Mm-hmm. Now there are 46 countries. So we had quite a change over time. In general, I would say eTwinning has contributed in most countries, if not all countries, to normalize the use of ICT in education. When we started in the e-learning era, so in 2005, although ICT has been around for a few decades already, I think only real pioneers were the ones who were involved in using especially telematics and therefore the internet in education. A bit less with computers in the classroom, but I think the main shift was when you introduced the communication and collaborative factor into the classroom. Therefore, the internet. So that has changed the landscape and then made all these pioneers become acquainted with the using of these tools. And over time, I think more and more people got involved, and then we went from pioneers to, let's say, innovators and therefore to other people. So we're trying to mainstream eTwinning. And that had an impact in most countries for the pioneers, in many countries for the innovators, in a few countries beyond the innovators, and therefore really mainstreaming. That means that in some countries, especially small countries, for instance, but also Eastern countries, eTwinning did make a change in the educational landscape. So to make a short answer, it did have an impact in literally all countries in Europe with variation depending on the starting point of the country, depending also on the availability of the education, on the flexibility of the curriculum, of the recognition given to people who engaged in training. But, well, we can't deny millions of pupils, hundreds of thousands of teachers involved in training did make a change.
Yeah, thank you. Leanne, you are new to the platform, new to eTwinning. What drew you to us, let's say? What are your expectations and actually how you became involved first in this project? Do you feel this same impact that Santi was just mentioning, that Liliana was also mentioning? Do you feel the same?
Well, I certainly do. I started as an eTwinning because we are adopting international school. We have a lot of international students to come and visit, also teachers to be that come from different countries to do their internship with us. And I think that, yeah, because of those things and those visions that we have as a school, we think that eTwinning is a really nice platform to introduce the kids at a younger age to different countries and different cultures as a step towards their broader world. Mm-hmm. And yeah, with that in mind, we started eTwinning. And we did a few eTwinning projects a few years ago. I am an English teacher now for 2 years, I think. Yeah, I really wanted to get enthusiastic and I really liked the project, but it was all quite new to me. So that was the reason that I went to Tallinn for a conference mm-hmm. on eTwinning. I had that lovely opportunity to go and do that.
Indeed.
And it was amazing, but it was so cool to see how other teachers were working with eTwinning for many, many years, like Liliane, and to see all the opportunities to work on eTwinning with the children. And I just finished my first project, and I think it was so amazing to see how independent the kids were working on the project, and they were working on like skills like cultural awareness, but also on their digital skills with English lessons as well. What I really noticed that even like inside the classroom, they learned so much about themselves working together with a cooperative project. Even outside of the skills that they practiced and the goals that they were working on in the eTwinning project, also making the project and making one big project or video in my case, together, that was also really enlightening to see how they worked on that and how independent and how enthusiastic they were. And then they forgot that they were learning so much. And they were just like, oh, when can we do this again? We're never going to work again. And I was like, well, you are doing many, like a lot of work. You are working, but they didn't even notice because they were so enthusiastic. And that was, yeah, it was amazing to see.
Yeah. Is there something in particular that you hope to achieve by being part of eTwinning, like something very specific that you envision that you can only achieve through eTwinning?
Well, like our goal as a school is to encourage the kids to go make a step into the world with a more brighter, worldwider image. I think with an eTwinning project, they gain way more self-confidence. They really step into a broader world. And I think that is something that eTwinning can really give you. Even when we have other schools visiting, it's quite a big step for the kids, especially when they're younger. They're more anxious. It's all new to them. And when they do an eTwinning project, it's with their own class. It's a smaller world, but they still get to know the bigger world. And I think that's a nice thing about eTwinning, that it's a nice little step towards the bigger world that we live in.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking about the impact on the students, and of course, it's for them that we work, right? All of us, us and the teachers. But there's also a huge impact on the teachers. And I think one of the most good things that eTwinning has is actually the recognition of the teachers' work. And we actually have several ways of recognizing the teachers' work. Maybe now Anne can actually tell us a little bit about the recognition of the teachers' work in eTwinning.
Tell you about the recognition. Well, there was always recognition there from the very beginning. In 2005, I think in the end of 2005, we launched the quality labels, the first quality label for projects, which teachers were really appreciative of because there was nothing, no form of recognition for teachers usually in this kind of work. And then that was followed fairly closely on a few years later by the European quality label. Very, very precious to teachers. You know, every year when they come out, there's always a spate of messages on social media that they've obtained this label or that label, you know, so teachers really appreciate that. That, of course, and the prizes is another form of recognition, which is also valued, but it doesn't reach as many people maybe as the quality labels do. And of course, then for all the certificates that are there now available for involvement in professional development activities, for participating in workshops, etc. I think all of this form of recognition is a really valuable part of eTwinning, which has really grown over the last 20 years.
Thank you, Anne. I know it's not why we work for, not for the certificate, but I think it's always good to have the recognition of the work. Liliana, as an ambassador, how do you think this, the quality and the recognition of the work is perceived in eTwinning?
What is particularly interesting and important is that the quality label has a very important and well-structured, well-designed foundation, which are the quality standards. And the quality standards help teachers figure out better how a quality project should be. And what is quality in a project? The quality standards have evolved during time. In time, and as an ambassador, we have had plenty of opportunities in different steps, in different moments, to talk about the quality standards. And now they are the keys when we work with the teachers and we try to help them develop their skills in eTwinning. So we start from the skills, the competencies, and the quality factors. And it's a good point of reference, and it's actually something that draws a line, draws a distinctive line between general projects and eTwinning projects. There are tons of projects that are carried out at school, lots of different inputs, lots of different possibilities. But the fact that you have some checkpoints and you have some standard to help you carry out activities that are more meaningful, that are more structurally, they have a structure and they have a connection one to the other. And the final product is actually a reflection of the process that you have used during the project. And it's not a matter of producing something beautiful, producing something that, you know, in a showcase actually can be brilliant or can be judged as brilliant. But it is the direct consequence of a working process. And this is possible only if the planning is already designed in this way. So I think this is extremely valuable and extremely important.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel the same, Leanne?
Well, I just started my first projects, but I think what I noticed at the conference, because that's where I really got into e-twinning and saw a lot of other e-twinners, I noticed that the way everyone was engaged with the projects and the enthusiasm from the teachers, I think that's the good start. I think with that enthusiasm, you can also share that with the children and create a great project that way. I had the chance to learn about project planning. How do you plan a good project? And that you don't have to set the bar too high for yourself. That you can start with a quite small project so you can get into e-twinning, but you can also start an easy way with the children as well. You don't have to you don't have to discover new great things. It's just to get to know each other and their cultures and starting small. I think that's what I learned there as well.
Yeah, we usually have the motto, KISS, keep it simple.
Yeah.
And smart.
Yeah.
Santi.
A couple of things I wanted to say that were triggered from what the colleagues mentioned. The first one is about pupils. Pupils, we noticed over the years, and we did many surveys and studies with the impact of e-twinning, and one of the things which came out quite clearly is that pupils feel more involved and engaged when they do projects, and they are involved in projects with especially international peers and, you know, colleagues and pupils from other countries, to the extent that e-twinning has been used as a way to reduce dropout from especially difficult schools. To be honest, that was quite, you know, striking for us, because we never really thought that being in a project could be used as a means to really involve difficult pupils. But that was actually quite natural, if you think of it. I mean, in a way, one of the policies of the paradigms we have in e-twinning is a student's agency and what is best to involve pupils in the design, the planning, the implementation, the monitoring of a project, you know, if you want to get the, you know, agency. So I totally agree with what Leanne was saying about the pupils being enthusiastic in projects. Second reflection was about the recognition that you mentioned before. One thing is, indeed, the recognition that we formally give with the quality labels, that is obviously essential and is a way to structure project and to start with the right foot. A different way of recognition is what we normally do in e-twinning, which is we want to literally give teachers a recognition of what they're doing because they feel isolated and not recognized in their own context. Mm-hmm. A typical, you know, examples whenever we talk to teachers, we used to talk to teachers, was like they were the, you know, the black sheep in their schools because they wanted to do something different, something new, something which nobody else was doing. Yeah. And they felt isolated. And they literally were, you know, wondering, is it only me? There must be somebody else somewhere else who has this feeling they want to do something different and something beyond the traditional, so to say, way of teaching. Well, we gave them e-twinning. So we recognized that they exist and there are many other people who are doing the same things. And therefore, they deserve to be seen and to be heard and to be part of the community. So there was two levels and layers of recognition, if you want. The one is the more formal one, which is with the quality labels, the national ones, the European ones, the prizes, the training school label. We have many layers of recognition in training. But the second one is a more, you know, the more informal one, which is I do things, I exist, people notice that I'm doing things and I'm not alone and I'm part of a community. And that is making you feel at home when you go to a training because you find people who are just the same as you are. And that's the reason why people, you know, have these friendships, and they talk to each other, and they don't only do projects, they go beyond doing projects, which is what e-twinning has become, a community of people who are not only doing projects, but they do a lot of things together. They exchange practice and examples and ideas and concerns and problems and issues, and they just find a solution with the other peers that may not be able to find in their own school environment. We just made a huge school, which is called e-twinning, and there's always somebody there who can hear you and recognize you.
Anne, you wanted to say something?
Following on from what Santi was saying about the formal and informal recognition, I think this is where perhaps the whole concept of the e-twinning community came from, because the community is made up of the teachers who at the beginning had nowhere to gather as a force of people who wanted to try new and innovative things. And as Santi has already said, were often very isolated in their school. So as e-twinning became more popular, this community of teachers who wanted to try out this kind of approach to their pedagogy began to grow. And indeed, within this community, there was recognition, not only the formal recognition, but also recognition of their expertise or the sharing of their ideas gave them a sense of sort of self-worth, which I think is extremely important factor within the whole e-twinning concept or idea of what e-twinning is about.
Yeah, well, being a community with a lot of people, I'm sure we have fun stories to share, and also having already 20 years, there's plenty of content that we could share maybe. So I wonder if, for instance, Liliana, do you have any fun story that you would like to share with us?
Well, the fun as a topic is something to share. Teachers, when teachers meet, when they have occasions of professional development together, and it's always like a very big celebration, a very big party, let's say, party in the good sense of the word. I mean, they enjoy activities like students, like pupils, contact, ice-breaking activities, ways to get together and get to know one another in a short time, and some funny things happen all the time. So it's also something beautiful to consider that the whole program actually gives the possibility, gives opportunities to teachers to meet and to have first-hand experience of what it means actually to plan things together, learn things together, and share their expertise and their experiences.
Thank you. Leanne, I didn't know you have a short story, but do you already have a fun story to share?
Well, I'm thinking like even getting together with all the teachers at the conference in Tallinn, it was so fun to meet all those people from different countries, all those teachers, even with the way we dress as teachers. Like I can go to school as a teacher and be there in my jeans and a sweater and it would be fine. And that's standard and quite normal actually in the Netherlands. But then we meet teachers from other countries and they were like, well, no, I'm wearing a suit when I'm in front of my class. That's like, you're so close together, but still so different, so many cultures, so many differences with clothing, with names. Even for the kids, when we did a exchange project a few years ago, it was also an e-twinning project with Christmas cards that the kids were looking at each other's names and they were like, I've never seen these names before. What do they mean? And I think that's really fun to see.
Indeed, it is very fun to see. Well, on the backstage, is there any fun story that we can share, Santi Dan? Go ahead. I'm sure you have one in your mind.
I do. I have one about a conference, but I leave that one to Santi.
The good thing about conferences is that when the conference takes place, everything is perfect, has to be perfect and shining. So that's normal. But what happens in the preparation of the conferences in the days before, well, that is, and there was a particular conference, I mean, we normally are, quite ready. But there was a particular conference in a particular country where we were promised that the hotel, it was a nice hotel in the center of the city, was supposed to be ready months before the conference took place. So when we arrived 2 days before the conference, the hotel wasn't very ready. Actually wasn't ready at all. So there were no carpets and there were wires hanging from the walls, and I managed to open a door and there was no stairs, and that was the day before. So, and I remember myself going with colleagues around the hotel, and the communication manager was literally crying, and the manager of the hotel was promising a huge discount. So thank you for the discount, but sorry, we need a place to run the conference. And the day after, the commissioner was supposed to be there, the minister was supposed to be there, many speakers, and we were the entire night gluing things and putting things together. And the day after, nobody really, apart from one comment from the commissioner who said, smells like glue. So, yes, of course, it smells like glue. We were gluing the carpet in literally until an hour before. But other than that, it was okay. And I can tell you, after the conference, everyone was very relaxed. And we got discount.
Good enough.
It was an unforgettable experience. I don't think we ever want to experience that again. But it worked.
But there were many. I mean, I remember also on a more joyful and more interesting experience, we had so many great speakers in conferences.
Indeed.
I mean, the conference in 2005 was actually, was obviously my first and the first conference ever. And we managed to get on stage Derek Dekarkov, who was a sociologist, and somebody has been working on connected intelligences. And I remember when I was introducing him on stage, it's like, you know, I've been dreaming to invite you on stage for all my life. And I was probably be exaggerating. And the guy who came on stage was literally frightened about what I just said just a minute before. So I had to, you know, kind of relax and say, well, sorry. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was really enthusiastic. And I actually, indeed, it was one of my best scholars.
But we had people like Edgar de Bono and Saugata Mitra and Stephen Heppel. Yeah. And, you know, we had the film director, Lord Putnam, David Putnam. You know, we had wonderful keynote speakers over the years.
Do you remember that time that we actually had the Game of Thrones? That everyone, you know, where people dressed up like old Romans, and they were just speaking in Latin. There was like this networking activity, which was like totally crazy. And actually, Lucas was there, like, you must be really crazy. But he was saying this in such a way that was like, you must be really good crazy.
It was during one of the workshops, one of the early workshops, where we used to have a partner finding activity. Two lines of the sit in a row, and you have 3 minutes to pitch yourself to the person opposite you. And at the end of all, you're meant to find a partner. And this very worried young man came up to me before it began, and he said, I'm already married, he says. I'm not looking for a partner.
We surely had very fun moments. Well, we are reaching towards the end of our podcast and our fun conversation about e-twinning. So I would like maybe to ask now Liliana to share with us a final thoughts about e-twinning, and maybe some advice for people that are considering joining the platform?
Well, 20 years have gone by, and we can only wish that 20 and 20 and 20 more years can come. And on a path to more collaborative, more active, and more democratic society, which starts from our classes. And in a moment like this, in a historical moment like this, I think that the spirit of e-twinning and the lesson from e-twinning is something we can all profit of, we can take advantage of, and we can use to guide our students towards better times that actually need active involvement and respect and knowledge because everything starts with this. So I would encourage the teachers not to think of their syllabus and not exactly being concerned about the time they might have to invest on things, but to give it a try and to shape it and to mold it in the way they want and to experience the flexibility of the experience before the idea of a further project, of one of the many projects. The project comes with the time, the experience stays and is good for our development.
Thank you, Liliana. Very nice words. What about you, Leanne? Do you have any words of encouragement to fellow teachers?
Yeah, well, I think that e-twinning is almost necessary in the world that we live in right now, with a multicultural world and multicultural classes. I think it's such a fun and engaging way to learn English, but also get to know cultures, different people. I think it's so important to work with a project like e-twinning.
Thank you, Leanne. We hope you stay with us for the next 20 years and that in the
I hope so.
In the next anniversary podcast, you are also with us sharing again your experience.
Would be fun.
Yes, a lot of fun for sure. Anne and Santi, do you have any final thoughts for this anniversary, for the next generation of e-twinners?
I would say just be courageous. You know, don't let all the things that are happening out there get you down. Trust in yourself. Trust that what you do with your students is the most important thing for them. Do it well. Keep exploring. Keep innovating. And use the newness of things that are out there to your advantage rather than being afraid of them. Because e-twinners have always tried to be to the forefront of doing things. They're the ones who are not afraid to experiment and never be afraid to fail. If something goes wrong, it's no big deal. You can always learn from it and do it again, better the next time. So that would be my message for all e-twinners for the next 20 years. Keep doing it. Okay, you'll fail sometimes, but keep succeeding eventually.
If I may compliment to what Andrew said, we reached 1.2, 1.3 million teachers, but there are 6 million teachers in Europe. So there's a long way to go because our small ambition is to reach them all and make sure that everyone is involved in this huge community. What is important for me as a message to teachers is that you don't need to be the expert, the IT geek. You don't need to be the wonderful, impossibly perfect teacher to become an e-twinner. You can start small, and most people remain small. As long as you do something different, you involve your pupils, you go beyond traditional pedagogy, you start working in collaboration, you empower your students, you use ICT, but not in a way that is impossible because you are becoming a programmer. Just the internet, as everyone is using the internet, get in touch with your colleagues and feel part of something bigger than your classroom or your school. Feel part of a European community of teachers like you. And that is going to be fun. That is going to really change the way you teach and maybe also the way you live. I mean, we had so many stories of teachers who really tell us e-twinning changed my life. Now, I'm not sure if that's true. Maybe just one of the many things we changed, but at the same time, we're happy that we contributed to, you know, changing and making education in Europe a bit better. And we need so much education more than ever, I would say.
Indeed. Thank you, Santi. Maybe if I would have to summarize in some key words, I would say that e-twinning is collaboration, innovation, professional growth, and community. That will be my key words for this conversation, I would say. Well, I would like to thank now everyone, Santi and Leanne and Liliana, for your time, for sharing with us your stories. I would like to close with Enrico's words. And in his testimony, he says, "I envision a future where e-twinning continues to foster cultural openness, promoting exchanges between schools, improving foreign language proficiency, and enhancing the sense of belonging to a global community. I firmly believe that mutual understanding is the first step toward building a better and more united world." Well, cheers to more years to come for e-twinning, and stay tuned for the next episode.
Happy birthday!